Welcome to Trail Bites for the week of February 20th, 2020. I'm Gavin Jackson, and this mini-pod is a companion piece to the South Carolina Lead. We're doing this to help keep you up to speed on what candidates are saying on the 2020 campaign trail in the Palmetto State, and also what South Carolinians like you are thinking. Yeah, it's gonna be one of our last. Over the past few days, three Democratic presidential hopefuls, former Vice President Joe Biden, Senator Bernie Sanders, and Tom Steyer, who topped the polls in South Carolina, have visited the Carolinas. Now, Biden was briefly in town on February 11th, the night of the New Hampshire primary, to get a jolt from his South Carolina base and let them know that despite his lackluster results in Iowa and New Hampshire, that he was gearing up for a big win in South Carolina with the help of black voters whose voices have not been heard yet.
The people of Nevada are watching, and I want to make it clear we praise their diversity as a state. And I'm going to be out there seeing them very soon. Tonight, though, we just heard from the first two of 50 states. Two of them. Not all the nation, not half the nation, not a quarter of the nation, not 10%. Two. Two. Now, where I come from, that's the opening bell, not the closing bell. And the fight to end Donald Trump's presidency is just beginning. We need to hear from Nevada and South Carolina and Super Tuesday states and beyond. And look, we're moving in an especially important phase because up till now, we haven't heard from the most committed constituency of the Democratic Party, the African-American community. And the fastest growing segment of society, the Latino community. I want you all to think of a number. 99.9%. That's the percentage of African American voters who have not yet had a chance to vote in America. One more number. 99.8. That's the percent of Latino voters who haven't had a chance to vote. So when you hear all these pundits and experts, cable TV talkers talk about the race, tell them it ain't over, man. We're just getting started.
Patrick Newbanks is a 22-year-old senior at the University of South Carolina who likes former Mayor Pete Buttigieg, but also Biden's centrist positions, which he believes will help the country going forward.
I think, especially when you look at the political climate of the country, with how volatile it's gotten, the best way to like bridge that gap going forward is someone who can bring people together.
Gene Hopkins, who has been a nurse since 1951, has always been a Biden supporter, even back to his days in the U.S. Senate. And she hasn't worried about Biden's fourth and fifth place finishes in Iowa and New Hampshire, respectively.
I'm a Colombian, and I'm 88 years old, so I know about politics, and I know what we need as a people. And Joe Biden has always been a person that I've respected all of his lifetime. And there are some issues that you're not going to solve, but they will come into fruition. You see, now, with the loss of their son, they know what it means to lose someone to cancer. What they would know if there's someone who does not have affordable health care and be able to buy and get the medicines they need and the care they need. So I am really knowing that he will be our next president. That has to happen. And it's going to happen if we do what we have to do. So I'm encouraging everybody I know in my church, they have to show me their registration.
Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders hasn't been in South Carolina since King Day at the Dome, but his support hasn't wavered. In fact, it's grown stronger. But Sanders, like the other Democratic contenders, has been visiting Nevada and other Super Tuesday states like North Carolina, which is where I caught up with him on Valentine's Day in Charlotte, along with 2,100 of his closest friends, including a bluegrass opening act by musicians Dylan Morris and Spencer Askew.
So what we are going to do is expand Medicare to cover dental care, hearing aids, eyeglasses, and very importantly, home health care. And the way we do that is we start off by expanding Medicare. It's a four-year transition. First year, we go from 65, where eligibility is right now. First year, down to 55, then 45, then 35. Fourth year, everybody is in Medicare for All. Now, what does Medicare for All mean? What does it look like in real life? And this, by the way, is not a radical idea. It's not something that I invented, you know. Other countries all over the world are doing it. This is what it means. It means there are no longer any premiums. Gone. They're gone for you. They're gone for your employer. Right now, I want you to think about it. You're not going to see this on TV, so you may as well hear it here. The average American median family makes about $60,000 a year. That family pays $12,000 a year for healthcare, 20% of their income. Okay? We are going to eliminate premiums, gone. No more co-payments. You don't have to come up with 50 bucks when you walk into the doctor's office. And we're going to end one of the most absurd concepts that I have ever heard of, the concept of the deductible. No more $5,000 deductible, no more $10,000 deductible, that's gone. No more out-of-pocket expenses.
Emily Ikeon, a 20-year-old student at Queen's University of Charlotte, says in order to change the conversation, the leadership in the country needs to change, which is why she's backing Sanders.
Bernie Sanders is my number one candidate. I will be voting for him in the primaries. I appreciate his policies and how he's pushing for democratic socialism in the United States. I appreciate Medicare for All and College for All and many of his other policies, including ones relating to the criminal justice system.
Kennedy Riddick, an 18-year-old from Baltimore, Maryland, who also attends Queen's University of Charlotte, said she'll be supporting Sanders, who she feels best represents people of color like herself. She also is worried by what she calls Mike Bloomberg's attempt to buy the election. Bloomberg will make his first appearance on Super Tuesday ballots on March 3rd.
I think it's really on us to understand what he is promoting, because compared to a lot of candidates, he really is for people of color and actually understands our issues compared to a lot of other candidates. Michael Bloomberg is probably the best example because we've been picking on him this whole time. But I think it's really just a matter of him being able to get into our audience, per se. I think it might be harder because we might have allegiances to other candidates over him. But in terms of who's actually vouching for us, I think Bernie Sanders is the way to go.
Tom Steyer was actually in the state this week and campaigned in Spartanburg and Greenville on February 17th. He had large, diverse crowds of several hundred people, including the one at USC Upstate in Spartanburg, where I was.
I don't think we can convince the Trump lovers to change, and I don't think we should waste our time. We're not Republicans. We're not like Republicans, but a little nicer. We're not like Republicans, and we're going to meet in the middle. We're different. I reject everything they stand for, just so you know. I reject the idea of cutting taxes for rich people and big corporations. I do the opposite. I reject Betsy DeVos and her idea that education doesn't matter. I was saying, I think it matters more than almost anything in terms of justice and economic growth. I reject the idea that Americans don't have a right to health care. I'm not meeting in the middle. There's no middle. It's a constitutional right that we take care of Americans and provide health care for every single one. I'm not meeting in the middle on wages. We have a $7.25 minimum wage. That is an insult. That is an absolute insult to working people. Look, I have been fighting for 15 bucks since 2012 when I was picketing at a McDonald's. I don't think 15 bucks is enough, just so you know. I know there's a long fight for 15, and I've been out with unions fighting for it for, this is the eighth year. But if you take the 1980 minimum wage and inflation adjust it, so it's just the same amount, but in 2020 dollars, it's 11 bucks. And if you include the increase in productivity and a share for workers, the minimum wage would be 22 bucks. That's what I think is a fair minimum wage.
Kathy and John Guida are retirees from Greer who came out to hear Steyer speak. The two presented a moderate dichotomy that I hear a lot from people on the trail, Steyer versus Biden.
Personally, I don't believe Bernie's going to be the one that's going to take us over the top and oust Trump. I don't. But I don't know who that person is yet. He may have a different opinion. I don't know.
I've been a fan. I like Joe Biden.
Yeah, he's a Biden.
I think he's honest, truthful guy. Coming off our current administration, that's what we need most.
I'm not ready for Biden yet. I don't know enough yet. And this is really the most important voter time for me, because never in my life have I ever felt the way I do about the nation right now. And so I have to make sure that my heart and my head are telling me the same thing.
How do you feel right now? What do you mean by that?
It's hard living in the South and being a Democrat. I don't like the direction that he's taking us right now, so it's time for me to get up there. And whoever I back, I'm going to back 100%. So, but I want to just make sure that I'm ready. So this is how it's going to help me.
And unprompted, Kathy had this to say about Steyer's signature tartan tie and beaded belt from Kenya.
I like the way Tom is presenting himself. I wish he'd change his tie and belt, but that's the only thing I can say right now.
Be on the lookout for some insane campaign trail activity, y'all. Next week is the final week. It's the big final sprint before the February 20th primary. So expect candidates to be at church this Sunday and in Charleston Monday and Tuesday, especially Tuesday evening for the debate, and then everywhere leading up to the Saturday primary. Everywhere. Like the Fleetwood Mac song, everywhere. You can follow me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson for the latest updates. Also, watch the remarks from all these candidates and others who have visited the state on South Carolina ETV's YouTube page under the SC 2020 playlist. And be sure to tune in to South Carolina ETV for live primary night election coverage at 8 p.m., hosted by me. We'll have live results, several reporters in the field, and expert analysis from two of the state's top political scientists. I'll also be hosting a live South Carolina Public Radio special from 6 to 7 p.m. Saturday as well. Leads on the radio, baby! Get the bleep button ready. And just a reminder, Campaign Trail Bites is not biased toward any candidates or campaign. We're just covering these candidates as they come through and as we can get to them. We're out there trying to get as much information for you so you can make your own decision in 2020. And we'll bring you a mini pod every time there's campaign trail activity in the state. And this is the 28th Trail Bite, so if you don't know who you want to vote for, it's not because of us, guys. So let us know your thoughts on Twitter at @SCLeadPod, and follow us with the same handle on Instagram for photos from the campaign trail, the studio, and our dank memes at @SCLEDEPOD. This Trail Bite was taped in South Carolina Public Radio's studios in Columbia on February 20th, 2020, and is a production of the South Carolina Lead. I'm Gavin Jackson. Baby!